Okay, thanks for coming. I do need to talk a little bit about the session and what we're going to do. We'll come on to that in a couple of minutes. My name is Neil Hodgkinson. I'm a program manager in the Office 365. Well, I say CAT team on the slides. It's formerly known as CAT team. We've now changed names, and we're part of the Fast Track organization, but primarily focused on unblocking customer migrations, unblocking both on-premises and Office 365. Difficult escalations, and I'll let you make your own mind up as to what they may be. This session, we're going to cover content around empowering discovery. So when I talk about empowering discovery, what I mean is how do we get information actually into our Office 365 search index so that Delve and perhaps the Office Graph can start to look at integrating with that information. So to kind of level set, I do want to say the concept of hybrid Delve and the concept of hybrid Graph. If you're looking for something super new on hybrid Delve and hybrid Graph in this session, you're in the wrong session. Okay, so I'm giving you that opportunity now, and I'll take the hit on the evals, but we're not going to show new things on hybrid Delve and hybrid Graph. Okay, no one's leaving, so that's cool. So we're going to look at empowering discovery. What I'm really thinking about here is how do we do data acquisition? What type of data do we want to get up there? What information can we feed from our on-premises environments, perhaps from other cloud services as well, into an Office 365 kind of homogeneous or unified search experience? To do that, we're going to cover a little bit of in-depth on the cloud search service application. It was covered by Manas Biswas and Katrina Hammervold at the last Ignite. Can I just ask, was anyone actually at that session or has seen that session online? Two, four, interesting. So we're going to talk about that cloud search service application as being our kind of focus point or conduit for getting information up into the cloud. And then we'll look at some specific search or search-driven experiences about how we can then take the information that we've pushed up into Office 365 Search Index and drag it back down again into a search-based portal or perhaps we're just going to use search centers and Delve as our kind of search fabric, if you like, for look at the actual exposing of those search results to our end users. So the Delve and Graph is going to be very much kind of a secondary thing. We're going to use it as a surface for exposing search results. The agenda is pretty straightforward. We're going to talk a little bit about hybrid. I don't want to dwell too much on the marketing aspects of why people want to do hybrid. I like to think you've been bombarded with enough of that information already this week, but we will cover it in a kind of a level one experience. Talk about a little bit about the challenges of getting information into the cloud, what type of information we might have on premises or in other cloud services that we want to unify into a search-based experience. Talk about proposals. So what do we want to do? What options do we have? And I'm going to present a few options for you. There are others, but we don't have time to cover all of them. A little bit about experiences in terms of what that means for your end user experience and how we can develop those experiences. And then we're going to talk a little about the roadmap. So I said we don't have anything in this session about what's coming down. In this session about specific Office Graph and Delve hybrid experiences, but I will give you a little bit of information at the end about kind of what's coming down the pipeline. So with that, if we talk about hybrid, I guess the first step that you want to think about is why do you want to even do hybrid? And for most people, hybrid is a kind of a steady state experience. We're going to be moving into a place where we're trying to build some of our experiences for our end users that can draw content or draw functionality or features from different sides of the cloud and on-premises experiences. And that's kind of where the hybrid thing's in. It gives us a flexible approach. It means we don't have to think about suddenly going, hey, we have to be 100% in the cloud or we're going to stay 100% on-premises. We can start to make those baby steps, if you like, into a cloud experience. People use hybrid experiences as well because sometimes you simply can't move everything, right? There are customizations, there are functionality, there are products even that people heavily depend on. I know even inside Microsoft, some of our tooling, it isn't appropriate for a cloud-based experience. It won't work up there, you may have to redevelop it, and that takes time. It takes time, effort, and money. So working on those kind of things by using a hybrid paradigm, if you like, it gives you that ability to stay in both places and then think about using your older content and your newer content and trying to get them together in a kind of hybrid relationship. Also think about remote locations. You know, it's not just simply a case of saying, well, we can move all of our content up into Office 365, or we can move some of our content into Office 365, You also need to think about remote people. Imagine if you were an oil company with oil rigs and drilling stations and remote offices, places, you know, two men in a shed in Antarctica. They can't necessarily have that connectivity to suddenly start using Office 365 services. They need to have a kind of blended approach. And then the last one, I think, or the two last ones really come down to what type of data you're looking at, what type of business you operate in. There are some businesses which simply can't move to Office 365 or can't move all of their content to Office 365 for compliance, sovereignty reasons, various regulatory requirements that just simply don't meet, or any cloud service doesn't meet the requirements for that yet. And then from a manageability perspective, really, manageability is kind of interesting. It gives you that option to give remote administration and remote capabilities to a wide variety of people within your organization. So having if you take Office 365 and SharePoint Online as an example, having that connectivity from across the globe, essentially, instead of having to be, okay, we need to VPN into the office, we need to VPN into our on-premises platforms, and things get difficult, connectivity can be hard to implement that. So having everything connected up and in the cloud can make things easier. And from our kind of numbers perspective, this is a number I was given on Sunday to use in this, approximately 66% of all customers are on the road to the cloud. Does anyone know what that number was at the last Ignite conference? There are no prizes, by the way. It was 22. So in 1 year, we've grown that footprint significantly, and people are thinking differently about cloud. And I think a lot of our hybrid experiences, I mean, I'm going to talk about SharePoint hybrid experiences, but there are obviously others with Exchange and Skype that have really kind of impressed people to the point where they can start to think seriously about cloud. In terms of benefits, I've just talked a little bit about some of these, but I guess the key things here, I'll build this out. The key thing here is hybrid gives you the ability to not have to do everything at once. It gives you the ability to have that split experience. It gives you the ability to have that scenario where you can retain control and content on premises. You can move what you can to the cloud. As we comply with more and more regulatory requirements, as we comply with more and more in-country based locations, the data centers we've opened in Germany, the most recent announcement of the 4 data centers in the UK. I'm based in the UK. When we announced that, my mailbox lit up like a Christmas tree. It literally was, when can we be there? From a lot of our government organizations in the UK who couldn't previously go anywhere near Office 365. And then from a kind of perpetual hybrid scenario, most of our customers, or many of them, will be looking at hybrid as a complete steady state. So we're making a lot of investments in hybrid. A lot of those investments enable customers to move more and more of their content, of their people, of their processes and functionality into Office 365. But we fully recognize that for the majority of those customers, they're never going to be 100% a cloud-based platform. Some will, but many won't. And we need to maintain that perpetual hybrid scenario, which means we need to continue to invest in hybrid workloads. We need to improve the ones we already have. And we need to think about new ones and developing new ones that mean you can move more and more of your functionality out there. So with that, this session was focused on the concept of data and your data that you have on premises and your line of business applications. So what can I think about is the challenges for these scenarios. And it is difficult. When we think about the different types of line of business data systems, I mean, Office 365 itself has to be considered line of business data, albeit not in on-premises. Various document management systems. As we went through the TAP program for this SharePoint Server 16, we had a lot of companies come to us and say, how do I get my connectors, how do I get my content in my document management systems or in my repositories available to be crawled or indexed through the cloud search service application and pushed into Office 365. And they made that step there. And we've got lots of those people on board today. Other applications, you know, SAP and HR and all those kind of applications that have significant footprint on premises and in many cases have the ability or the lack of ability to move to the cloud. We need to think about what can we do with that data? Is it okay to have a search-based experience on that data even if we don't move the entire application and its database to the cloud? Sales as well, inventory management, stock, all these kind of things. If you think about your business today and think about the repositories of information you have on premises, they all fall under this same kind of bucket of line of business data systems. And you have to bring in other things such as other cloud-based services as well. We're going to hopefully do a hopefully do a demo that will work, where we look at another cloud-based service as a line of business system. And that you'll all get the chance to do some audience participation as I build myself up for a fall. The challenges with that are all the different data types. You know, if you ever worked in scenarios where you've had a business that has to do, if you think about the old the Microsoft BizTalk platform that was designed, did lots of other things, but designed primarily to make build functioning communication between disparate data types. That's quite a challenge in the cloud, to have a hybrid scenario to build a platform as a conduit to Office 365 that can work with all of these different data types. So we need to think about how we connect to those systems as well. We need to think about how we give people access to that data. The easiest thing in the world is to make everything anonymous and push it up to Office 365 or push it up to a cloud service and let everyone access it. But it's not appropriate. In the majority of cases, it isn't appropriate. And it's also about timing. There are some aspects, and we'll talk about one in particular to Office 365 and the cloud search service application, where timing is critical when it comes to onboarding your people into your processes and making that data available to them, and how that can break under certain conditions. And we'll cover that one as a kind of an experience later. And then obviously we mentioned compliancy, data sovereignty, regulatory requirements. These are all challenges around the business, especially if you think about some scenarios. We have a lot of customers using SharePoint on-premises where they may have a web application or a number of site collections that they can never expose to the internet. They can never have that data move out of that environment or out of that country. So looking at how do we partition that data, and how can we make sure we crawl or index only part of it, move only part of it, these are all part of the same challenges. And then availability, if you think about the two men in the hut in Antarctica working for the oil company, how do they get access to that data? Or can we give them access to that data? So it's about availability as well. But not just from a reach and a, you know, how do I get my people access to that data? But you need to think about keeping that data permanently online. What about high availability? What about making sure that people can always access the information when they need to? Just going back to kind of the data types and the concept of data evolution, this is probably the last marketing slide I'll do, so then we'll move on to some meat. If you think back, I think back to university. I finished my first degree. I'm old, right? I finished my first degree in 1992. And I think about the access to data that I had while I was doing that degree. And when I was researching information and looking for data and looking for content, my daily life literally involved going to the library and finding a book or ordering a research paper that might take 2 weeks to turn up. Things are obviously, as we know, very, very different today. And the focus on that information management, the amount of data that's being generated. I know some of the slides, one of the operations guys has a slide talking about the kind of total content of electronic data across the world today. And the numbers are astronomical. But the access to that data is amazing. You know, you don't have to make a phone call, order a paper, wait for the post to turn up, that you can read it. It's all there at your fingertips. But we need to think about, from a hybrid perspective, how does that data become important to us in terms of moving it where people can access it directly? And the different types of data, the amount of data that gets created, the different data types, we have to think about how do we connect to it, how do we interpret it? It's a classic kind of problem. If you think about those of you that have built SharePoint platforms and search and custom connectors, we're going to look at one of those in particular today in a demo. You have to think about the data types, you have to think about how we're going to interpret it, we have to think about how we're going to expose that information to our end users. And the quantity I mentioned earlier becomes a real challenge, right? If you think about we're not going to particularly touch on OneDrive in this session, but I was talking to a customer yesterday on the booth who wants to move 400 terabytes, or wants to have 400 terabytes of OneDrive data on premises. It's a pretty impressive footprint. I'd love to be the SAN vendor that's selling those licenses. And in fact, indeed, the Microsoft license guy that's selling all those user licenses as well. It's the most obvious target solution for OneDrive for Business. You get all of that data up in the cloud. The cost is relatively little. And that's the kind of thing we're facing today with large data. Microsoft, our footprint in OneDrive for Business is enormous for our people. And that's the kind of things we challenge. And then what about the expectation of those users? People want that reach, they want that access, they want the data everywhere, right? They don't want to have to be hanging around looking for, well, I need to wait till I go to the office so I can download this file. They want to be able to have it available to them straight away. From a storage, we mentioned the OneDrive experience then with that particular customer. The storage requirements needed for the amount of data that we generate from a business perspective and in our personal lives, I have a 4 terabyte music catalog at home, which is amazing, and it's all paid for, right? That everybody in the world having that kind of footprint is phenomenal, right? It's a serious quantity of information. And then it's the whole kind of thing about, well, mobility reach. If you think about, I want to get access to that information on my mobile platforms, I want to get access to it on my laptop, I want to get access to it at work, I want to be able to display that information on display panels around the business, I want dashboards and status reports in the sales office and all that kind of thing, bringing all that information. And we can use search-based experiences, and we can use line of business data acquisition pushed into a central unified search index as a kind of conduit to develop that experience. So in terms of data gathering then, has anyone deployed the cloud search service application? A few. There are more people in this room that have done it than were actually on the hybrid pre-day that have done it, which is kind of surprising. But it's good. I mean, as a conduit to bring information into Office 365 in particular, it's a fabulous way, and it offers some quite unique opportunities over regular search or trying to do custom connected based Office 365 experiences. So we're going to look at that a little bit. We're not going to do super deep dive. I'll go into it a little bit, and I'll go into the architecture of it. If you've got questions, we can take them. I'll go for them later. It is, though, a significant investment for us. We've made it our primary mechanism for taking data from on-premises repositories into Office 365. So if you're thinking about moving data, or not moving data, but indexing data and having the ability to find that data both in Office 365 and find it on-premises consuming the Office 365 search index, you should seriously think about deploying this application into on-premises SharePoint. And it works on SharePoint 2013 and 16. So before we go and do that, I'm going to show you a little bit of what that search service application actually offers us as an end user and an administrator. My laptop will come back to life. So it's a very simple demo. What I'm going to try and show you is what the unified search index actually looks like. And many of you will have seen this already, but it's essentially what I've done here. I have a platform, we'll look at the architecture and we'll dig into it a little bit more later. But I have an environment that consists of a SharePoint on-premises deployment. In fact, I've got 3 on-premises deployments, all running the cloud search service application on 3 different farms. They're all feeding the Office 365 search index using a variety of different connectors, all feeding the same tenant. So if my web applications are working fine, this nelimonet.sharepoint.com, hopefully you can see that, is a Office 365 URL. This is a search center based in Office 365. If I do a simple search, and I can spell, we should, everything being equal, be able to see some things. So you can see here, this is a unified search index using the cloud search service application. And all I'm doing is I'm indexing standard on-premises SharePoint content here, feeding it into Office 365 and building a unified index. You can see this document here and this document here. One, if you look at the URL, sharepoint.nelimo.net is an on-premises farm. Nelimo.sharepoint.com is, nelimonet.sharepoint.com is Office 365. So they're appearing as a unified index. It's a single index. The relevancy models work across the whole result set. The ranking works across the whole result set. So if some of you may be familiar with the old kind of, I hesitate to use the term classic, but if you think about the older way of doing hybrid search-based experiences with result blocks and 2 sets of results and sticking them together on the same page, this is a very different experience and a much improved experience. And it works everywhere. So this, we're doing it in Office 365. If I do the same query on a SharePoint 2013 farm on premises, it's just making a simple outbound call to Office 365, I get the same set of results in the same order, same ranking, same experience, as long as I'm the same user. So therefore I'm doing the same kind of security trimming and the relevancy that applies to me is the same, I'll get exactly the same experience. Same with SharePoint Server 2016, exactly the same experience. I see everything I need to see, I get it in the same order. And in Delve, no laughing at my picture. Yes, I'm stupid. There you go. We get the same experience. Now, Delve will be a little bit different because Delve uses augmentation from the Office Graph and things as well. But you can see the same document, the lab environment details, the workflow, the Office 15 foundation. If we look here, we have the same things. right? It's the same documentation. So if we think about those things we were kind of aiming for as an objective here in terms of reach and availability and access, this is a user experience that just works across all platforms, including mobile. Right, it's the question.
Is there a question on the refinement?
Yep.
So
the question was about the refinement panel, and does it include managed metadata refinement across all farms? We announced just recently the hybrid managed metadata service application, so you can very shortly be able to do hybrid managed metadata. As long as you're using term sets, the same hybrid relationship from all farms, then they'll have the same experience, yes. And the refinement panel applies to both on-premises data and Office 365 data, but it's all coming from the same unified search index, okay? Folks, I can't really see to the ends of the room, so if you do have questions out there and I miss you, just come up to the mic and scream at me, okay? So that's kind of that unified experience. It gives us that easy, nice to use, and it's so easy to configure. Those of you that have done it know how easy it is to do. Let's go back to, I'll tell you what we'll do before we go back to the slides. This is gonna be a participation slide in a few minutes. What I'm gonna do is show you what it looks like from an administration perspective. Those of you that have deployed the Cloud SSA, it doesn't look much different from a regular search service application. If we look at it here, this is one on a SharePoint 2013 farm, search administration center. We've got our components. I'll talk about the component use later. With number of items, we see nothing because we're not feeding an index on premises here. It all goes up to Office 365, and you can get your item counts from there. But everything else applies the same. Things like content source configuration, crawl rule configuration. There's some caveats around configuring search schema changes because we're feeding the Office 365 search index. If you want to make search schema changes, you need to make those up in the cloud, okay, in the tenant admin center. But fundamentally, it's exactly the same. There's no don't much different. Question?
Please step to the mic, please.
That's okay. I'll repeat the question this time. Yeah, try and use the mics if you can. So the question was, will Microsoft release any new PowerShell, updated PowerShell scripts for configuring?
See, Microsoft has already released complete PowerShell script for configuration of the hybrid search. But that the PowerShell script is not that much optimum or it's not working. So many tickets and so many support is required while you configure the hybrid search and on-prem to the online. So what is the plan to release the optimum script in order to configure independently for all organizations instead of the getting a lot of the support for the Microsoft and
okay.
configure the...
Okay, so that's kind of a there's a very long answer to that one, and there's a very short answer to that one. I'll do the short answer first. The short answer is all of the hybrid configuration capabilities are going to exist in the hybrid version 2 picker, so you'll never have to use PowerShell again. Having said that, many people prefer to use PowerShell because they might want to use a different kind of configuration experience. The most recent PowerShell that we've released has a lot of error checking in, and it actually works very well. Typically what we find when we have hybrid-based problems, it's not necessarily the PowerShell that configures the feature, it's the underlying requirements that haven't been set correctly. It's a massive discussion point, and I'll happily discuss it with you till the cows come home at the end of the session, if you like.
Okay, another question.
Very quickly then, because we need to keep going. That's okay, go on.
So is there any way to refine the data, you know, indexes and information from the online to on-prem? Suppose based on the demand, we can supply the information or search result on the online platform?
I'm not sure
like
what you...
Right now, the mix of the result is coming on the search center, right?
Yep.
We wanted to refine the results. Suppose some of the enterprise or some of the department don't want to see their on-prem data on the online. Oh. And some of the department, they wanted to see mix of the information. So what is the plan? How we can refine those information?
Okay, so what you're asking there really is about search-based experiences. And in that kind of scenario, if I had different people around my business who wanted to see different subsets of information from the search, I'd use the classics, and we used to call them scopes, but I'd use individually query transformation to give people different experiences, perhaps different search verticals, perhaps different search centers based on those businesses. And there's a whole number of ways to kind of carve that up. Okay, but we can talk about that at the end if you like, but we can go on forever on that one. So I want to do a quick demo, which involves all of you in the center of this room. If anyone here objects to having their photo taken, put your hand up now. leave. Okay, we're going to do something that hopefully will work. I'm going to take your picture. Nice smile there, Chris. Thank you. So I'm going to take the picture. I've taken your picture, hopefully. Here's your picture. Beautiful. I'm going to insert you in here. Okay, I'm going to save that guy. And what I'm going to do is a very simple scenario here. I'm going to upload this document to a repository on my farm. He says, if I can find that repository. If I can type my own session number correctly. Okay, so I'm going to put that up here. I'm going to drag and drop it because it's easier. And that document is here. Let's save it again. Save. Make sure it's the right one. It's not the right one. I'm going to insert the picture again. Never play with animals and live audiences. That's what they say, right? Don't be bothered. Okay, save. That's better. So I'm going to drag that up there. And then what I'm going to do for my admin center when that finishes uploading is we're going to crawl it, and then we're going to come back and see if we can find it later. And we're going to look at that same search experience and see if we can find that document across the whole set. So I crawl exactly the same as I would any other content. I'm going to crawl my SharePoint site. I'll do a full crawl because I know there's not a lot in there. But we'll leave that alone for now. So hopefully, all being well, that document with all your nice shiny faces on will appear in the search results later. So in the meantime, we go back to the slides. So we're going to talk a little bit about the architecture of the search application and how it actually works and how we can leverage its features and capabilities to perform this discovery and bring this line of business data into our applications. Simply put, it's a very high-level diagram. If you think about what you need to make this work, you need the same basic functional requirements as you do for any hybrid scenario or for any integration with Office 365, which is over on the left-hand side, your classic directory synchronization using your favorite directory synchronization tool. At the bottom of the image, in the middle, we've got the cloud search service application. You deploy that through PowerShell or you deploy it through the search UI, so the service application creation UI. That creates essentially a component that is designed to do crawl. And if you think about that line that's going up there, we're effectively extending your search acquisition or your content acquisition pipeline from on-prem and stretching it out into Office 365. So you have part of your indexing and search functionality on-premises, essentially administration and crawl and not a lot of anything else. The documents then got parsed and batched up. Importantly, they get encrypted and they get submitted to a search endpoint hosted on an Azure, what we call the SCS, or the Search Content Service. There they get stored in an encrypted blob store, much like the Office 365 encrypted blob store. And there's a queue generated there that says, you know, I'm next in the queue, go index me now. And effectively all that happens is we then move that content into the pipeline for search located in Office 365. And everything over on the right kind of shows the search index and then the different content stores we can access. And probably the most important one we're going to think about today from a content source is some of the third-party connectors and the line of business type of data structures that we can look at. Under the hood, very simple. The green box there represents your on-premises search service application, and we literally feed up into this centerpiece here, which is the search connector service or the search content service. It has an indexing API that you communicate with. It's the same, we have an external endpoint that you can talk to. We have an internal endpoint that our SharePoint farms in Office 365 talk to. And that enables us to, because we're using the same indexing pipeline, that enables us to merge those searchable items together to form that single unified search index. What do we push up there? Well, we push ACLs, we push keywords, we push metadata about the information, we push your tenant information. We have to know where to direct that information to from a tenancy. And I've starred the term analytics because the amount of analytics data, we're not going to give you full-blown search analytics in Office 365 based off this experience, right? That's something that's kind of a future state, perhaps on somewhere on the roadmap. The analytics capabilities here is a little bit limited, and we'll talk about that later when we look at roadmap. The SCS itself is hosted in Windows Azure. We deal with all the scaling of that. You don't have to care about that service. All you have to do is make sure that your on-premises crawlers can communicate with it. So they need outbound internet access to communicate with that endpoint. In terms of scaling, in terms of capacity in that service, we do all that for you. When you're querying, so the queries I just made, very straightforward. If I'm an end user that's located in Office 365 using a Delve or Office 365 search interface, my query goes direct to the Office 365 search index. It's the simplest possible scenario. If I'm on premises, however, I need to think about how I empower my on-premises users to be able to reach that content as well. And we do that through what's called outbound query federation. So effectively what I do in my search service application or indeed within site collections or sites, I configure an endpoint or I configure a result source endpoint that says, if somebody is searching from this location, send the query out to this other location. And that other location would typically be the root site of your SharePoint Online tenant. To the gentleman's point before about the PowerShell, when you've configured what we call the onboarding process that establishes a trust with the SCS and a trust with Office 365, you can then complete that whole crawling process and you can be trusted to issue search queries from an on-premises farm to Office 365 as well. This is not new information in terms of search federation. It's been done to death in both my blogs and other blogs. Manas Biswas has a great blog detailing all this information as well. If you've got any questions, we can take them later. There are those odd scenarios, though, that I'm sure many of you will come into where you have that concept of, well, what if I can't index everything and push everything to Office 365? I may have some subsets of site collections, some file shares or other data repositories that I can't push into Office 365, they need to stay on premises. And in that case, that's fine. You can just have two search service applications, or indeed have one farm that has a cloud search service application and one that has a regular search service application. And then you can do that same, as I termed before, the classic kind of hybrid scenario where you have a federated result block coming from one search service application and your main set of results coming from Office 365 where we want you to have indexed almost everything. So you can do both scenarios, and it fully respects kind of crawl rules and all that kind of ways to segregate crawl data and what content search servers can crawl. There is one important thing, and I mentioned this earlier when you talked about the importance of timing. We've had many, many escalations or support cases, if you like, where people have onboarded the cloud SSA and they don't necessarily do things in the right order. You have to be very careful. If you're going to crawl content on premises, we go through this process that's referred to as ACL mapping. The content that gets crawled from on-premises, we pick up the ACL that's on that content, right? So we need to know who's going to be allowed to see the item once it reaches Office 365. The on-premises ACL does not necessarily match the Office 365 ACL. The representation of that user in terms of UPN is different, okay? It's also important that it's actually even there. So think about the process. I index a piece of content on-premises. It gets fed through this system. When it hits the search connector service, or the search content service, sorry, I need to do a lookup, or the service does a lookup into Azure AD, looking for the matching ACL or the matching users and groups that are contained within that ACL. If those users have not yet been synchronized to Office 365, that item gets rejected. Well, it doesn't get rejected. We don't convert the ACL, or we don't convert the entry to a representation of an ACL, the entry that matches Office 365. And therefore, when your users try and search for that information, they can't find it, right? We default to no results because that's how security streaming works. So if you're onboarding the cloud SSA, make sure you synchronize your users that are going to be using it before you do that. And if you bring a new person online, a new person into the business, you might have to think about, well, do I now need to recrawl that content? Because I'm securing content with individual user ACLs. This harps back to the classic scenario of SharePoint, good SharePoint management of using Active Directory groups. Use Active Directory groups to bypass this problem. Okay, so we do see a lot of support cases with this. That's why the reason I wanted to put it up there. One of the other beauties we mentioned about access and acquisition and how we can use the cloud search service application as a conduit to get this data. This is great because I can now have the concept of what we call, or what I'd like to call, remote crawlers. I can put search service applications all over the globe, all indexing into one central tenant, and offer a search experience based off all of these remote data repositories. So I don't need that kind of cross-global WAN type experience now where I've got one farm crawling another farm, feeding another farm. I just connect all of my remote disparate SharePoint sites to the same Office 365 tenancy, and they can all receive the same search experience, or indeed go to Office 365 to get the same search experience from any of those locations, indexing any of that content. So it's kind of a big step forward in terms of kind of geo-enabling the search experience. In terms of the cloud search service application, I won't talk about this too much, but basically, if you're deploying it, again, some of the things people have been asking us are about capacity and sizing. What do we need to do to, when we deploy this thing, how do we need to think about it in terms of high availability? What does it give us if we just do the classic scenario of saying, okay, here's one VM, and I'm going to put all my search nodes on that VM, and I'm just going to let the thing crawl. This is the kind of things you need to think about. So from a scaling perspective, it's just a SharePoint box, right? Yes, it's a search box. It's only doing crawl and admin. So you don't need to think too much about, well, how much horsepower do I need for an indexer? There isn't one on premises, so you don't need to do that. In terms of fault tolerance, a single box will give you query in Office 365 fault tolerance because we query in Office 365, not in SharePoint on premises. It doesn't give you any fault tolerance for the outbound experience, though, because you've only got a single machine or for crawling. So the kind of recommendation, certainly for those of you that are considering going down this route in an enterprise forum, would be to deploy two machines. Classic high availability, two machines, put the main nodes that you need, the admin, the crawler, query processing if you want outbound, highly available query processing capability, and of course, high availability at the database level. The only database you need to think about in terms of capacity planning is the CrawlDB, because that's the one that's going to still maintain a log of all of the items you're crawling on premises. That's still going to grow. It still has the same guidelines of one CrawlDB per 20 million items. Okay, finally, I guess from a kind of topology perspective, what does it allow us to do? Well, obviously, if we're indexing into the cloud and not indexing content on premises, we don't need all of the infrastructure that we have. We can reduce the footprint of the amount of components we have on premises. I can index 25 million items into Office 365, and I don't need any index components on premises. I don't need those machines. I don't need that data storage. So that helps a great deal. We can also do this from SharePoint 2013, so I don't need to upgrade to SharePoint 2016 yet. Pretty straightforward. What does it give us in a kind of nutshell before we look on some of these scenarios? I mentioned already reduced infrastructure and cost. So if you're not running search farms, you don't need to have all of that maintenance. If you do run large search farms today, you know what the overhead is. It's significantly, I say costly in terms of man hours to maintain the search index and monitor and keep it going. The amount of information you can index is linked directly to your storage pool in Office 365. It's 1 million items per terabyte of pooled storage, okay, which means everybody can stand up a test tenant and index 1 million items from day one. Because we're leveraging the Office 365 search service, we benefit from all the improvements there. So we're doing lots of work in the Office 365 search index today to improve freshness, improve latency and those kind of things. And obviously, as we add new features there, all you're doing is providing a conduit that feeds your data into that search index. If we make improvements in that search index, you gain benefits from them straight away. The service itself, it's hard to kind of give a number in terms of the number of items in the Office 365 search index or the scale of those farms. Needless to say, they are enormous. We're working a lot on improving what we have in terms of high availability for search. I'm pretty sure many of you will have run into scenarios where search is maybe not fresh, or you've lost your search capability. It's happened. It should not happen in the future, and it should be much more resilient even today than it has been for a long time. But we do all of that work for you. So you're basically offloading your search operational activities to Microsoft. All you have to do is make sure that you're looking after that one on-premises box. So with that, I want to get into some solutions, because where the demos will hopefully get a little bit more interesting. If we think about kind of the common, sorry, very quickly.
Can we map on-prem properties to online search properties?
Can you map on-prem, you mean like managed properties, crawl property mappings?
We declare a lot of the custom properties in SharePoint on-prem.
Yeah. So the question is about mapping property mapping between that are discovered by the crawler.
Yeah, between the online and on-prem. Yeah.
No, you can't do that. If you're going to do well, you as items are discovered on premises by the search service application, they're fed into Office 365, and you can make those mappings there. So if those crawl properties from those items are picked up in Office 365, so you can't make the mapping on premises. You can make it in Office 365.
Okay. Thank you.
Thinking about
excuse me. One other question.
Sure.
Is it possible to use the search service proxy for the hybrid SSA in on-prem sites?
Is it possible to use the search service proxy for the cloud SSA in on-prem sites? When you say on-prem sites, you mean SharePoint sites?
Yes.
You can,
yes.
You could, so can you consume the proxy, you mean, from another?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay. You can publish that search service application in exactly the same way as any other.
Okay.
And
thanks.
You can consume it from SharePoint 2010. As well, so you can bring that whole experience into the 2010 workspace as well. Okay, all right, I'm going to keep going because we're doing okay. Data is kind of interesting, the kind of data we mentioned earlier about the types of repositories and the types of data people want to access here. So if we think about just a couple of scenarios, the concept of databases might be HR data, sales and stock data, representing that information into a platform where your sales guys can access it, where your management people can access it to get up to minute information of that data that's going through your systems on premises is important. If I want to give my VPs access to the latest sales figures on their phone, I can do it through a search-based experience using this type of technology without having them need kind of custom connectors or maybe a custom app to get that information on the phone. Social data, more and more social data is becoming important in line of business feeds. I know internally at Microsoft, we have an incident in Office 365, you can be sure that we're monitoring Twitter and we're monitoring Facebook, so we see what's coming in. We understand the sentiment from our users and try and get a feel for what people think. The last thing you want to be as a big vendor of potentially expensive, important platform is we're going to keep selling the advertising when the platform's offline. Right? That's the last thing you want to be doing. So you need to make sure you tune into that kind of sentiment. And we're going to look at a simple scenario there. And then there's other things like structured file formats. Another classic one, I used to work for a document management company, and we used to take streams of information from AS400s, the old concept of cold data, you know, that kind of computer output to laser disk type data. Feeding that into here is possible as well. You just need the right connector to be able to do it. So again, I've got an example for you there. If we look very simply at the concept of on-premises databases as our first example, the classic scenario for exposing on-premises database information into Office 365, from a SharePoint perspective anyway, is hybrid BCS. So hybrid BCS is probably the most challenging of all the hybrid scenarios to configure. It's a real pain, to be honest. You need to expose your on-premises URLs to a reverse proxy. You need to convert your data repositories so they've got OData endpoints, which is not necessarily difficult, but it's time-consuming and involves development cost. With this solution we can have with kind of BCS on-premises, with a cloud search service application, we can just use traditional BCS. So you still need an app model, you still need to stand that feature up. But in this case, the cloud search service application, instead of having to reach from the search service in online into your on-premises environments to pull that data out, we can just index it on-premises and present it in online, part of our regular search capability. All you might want to do is skin it with display templates and result types. So it's pretty straightforward. I'm going to do a very, very, very simple demo. I've got an on-premises database running in SQL Server. I've already used the Cloud SSA to crawl it. And then we're just going to look at how we can kind of expose that information in those same scenarios we saw earlier. So if my machine doesn't, we'll come back to life. And this is very simple. All I'm doing here is taking custom database. I was going to take a custom database. Okay. So I have a content source, which is this customers one here. We're not going to go into the full depth of how to configure BCS and everything, but needless to say, I have a model file or an external content type that will allow me to go and connect into that SQL Server. This is all fully documented if you've never done it. It's probably the easiest bit to do in this. And all I'm doing is crawling it here. So it's a simple crawl. It's going to connect to the database, pull those records out and index them. And then what do they actually look like? If I go to my SharePoint site again, I'll stay in the farm, it's easier than switching. If I do a search for, I'll just search for customers. So it's literally just a simple database of sales data and customers I want to talk to. This is traditional kind of scenario. If I want to look at the search-based experience, and I think one of my display templates is broken, but this is allowing me to do, to the gentleman's point about how do I factor in on specific areas of information, I'm using a search vertical, which is filtering on a predefined query transformation, which is saying, get me the information only from that BCS connector. And then the display type that I have here is telling me what that information is, and I've kind of customized it a little bit to give you a bit more information about what it looks like. This is all standard information. You can get these display templates from online. No prizes for seeing the obvious mistake in this display, where it's showing the wrong map and the wrong customer name in the display template for the search result, but you can get the idea, right? There's a problem in my database. I've indexed columns in the wrong order. But basically what's happening here is I can see my line of business information, and I've not had to go and configure any custom connection from Office 365 into my SQL database on premises. All I've done is created a BCS model and crawled it. Very, very straightforward. The result type is set up. Thank you. I did not expect that. All I've done here is, for the result type, I've just configured a very simple result type called customer, and all that's doing is basically saying if the result type matches a particular managed property, in this case DHTC customers, and then the entity name matches that, display the data in a different way. Regular kind of search configuration. Yeah, question?
Sir, I have a question. Sir, question is, in search, in your 2013, what we do, the client need to write the complete word, let's say customer or SharePoint for the search. In the new search service, means can we write the some small word to search large, someone write mistakenly wrong word or something like that? So can this search give us the exact result, or maybe just like a Google, if we write the wrong spelling?
Don't say
so,
that word.
Yeah. Well, actually, if someone write the wrong spelling in the search, so. Can it give the hint or something like that?
So you're looking for, the question I think is looking for like query hints or
yeah.
Spell check.
Yep.
That's supported across the board with the SharePoint search service application anyway. In some cases, you can preload words if they're not specific, and it takes time for the search service to learn those words, to learn common misspelled words. But that works exactly the same way as it does today in regular search.
Okay, and okay? If I write, If I need to search the customers, I only write the custom. So this search will give us also the record for the customers?
We could talk about the end. That's kind of partial searching and wildcard type searching. That's a big, big topic. I don't want to distract the session. But we can talk about that at the end. Okay, so that's kind of a very, very simple line of business example. There are others, right? What about social feeds? Anyone in here use Twitter? Time to log in, folks. You're going live on the stage. So if you can log in for me, if you don't mind, you don't have to. Sentiment and social feed data. Businesses react to sentiment. As I said already, businesses see sentiment, they see negativity. I mean, I have a classic one. Posted a message there's a train service in the UK called, I won't name it, bad idea. I posted a message on their Facebook page saying, rubbish service, didn't like that, it cost too much and you were late. And I almost instantly got a response back saying, well, we apologize, blah, blah, blah. So these businesses do listen, right? And Twitter feeds are classic. You know, you can be sure that we're listening to Twitter and we're listening to social sentiment when we have problems with our service. We're listening to it all the time. In fact, we have, for those of you that are Microsoft people, we have a dashboard internally where you can see this thing. You don't necessarily see the tweets, you see the plus and the minus, you see how the kind of sentiment's flowing about the services. It's very, very important to us. And it should be very, very important to you. And we're going to go through a kind of a simple example. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to bring in Microsoft Flow as my other data gathering service. And Microsoft Flow, I only really discovered this the other day, and it's really impressed me. If any of you use kind of if this, then that, it's that same kind of scenario where you get one of these, go do this, go do that, go do the other. And what I've done is I've built a very simple flow that's going to pick up all of your Twitter feeds, and then we're going to index them. And then we're going to see them. So when you tweet, it's going to be seen on the screen with your name on it. So please, don't get me in trouble, right? Flow is great. I'm not going to advertise Flow. Chris McNulty at the conference has got a fantastic session on Flow and configuring Flow and how to make it all work. I heartily recommend you see that session if you want to get the details of it. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to on-premises SharePoint from cloud-based Flow. Right? We're going to use what's called the gateway connector, and my on-premises gateway is going to be listening to your tweets, looking for a specific hashtag. So what we're going to do is we're going to just do it, right? Now we start to pray. Okay, so what I have, right, if I log into my environment, I have flow.microsoft.com. I can go in here and look at my flows. I've configured, you can't see the screen. So I was in flow.microsoft.com, which was back here. I went here to logged in, see my flows. You can do this with any tenant credential. I can see a flow that I've created here. I'll go and edit that guy. So what I've done is I've said, when a new tweet appears with this term here, hashtag Linda Strong, okay? A friend of mine is going through some difficult times, and this is kind of a, you're all gonna wish her well right now, okay? This is gonna go out there and we're gonna Twitter Strong for her. So we're gonna Linda Strong for her. So hashtag Linda Strong. If you can start tweeting that now with any comment you like, get well, have a great day, thinking of you, be fantastic, please. We then think about the connection. What's listening and what am I going to connect to? I have this connection called Nelimo, which is basically a connection to my on-premises gateway. And then what are we going to do with it when we find it? Well, I'm going to log into this. It's going to connect to this list. It's clearly an on-premises URL. There's no smoke and mirrors here, right? This is not going from Twitter to SharePoint Online. It's going from Twitter to on-premises. It's going to hit this list called tweets, and it's going to add the name of the person, the username of the person, and the tweet text to that list. Okay, I'm gonna go first. Okay. So that's gonna go off. It does take a little bit of time. Hopefully some of you are out there tweeting for me. I'll minimize that. And then we will go and look at the list itself. So the list is located here. And there are a few people testing for me. So you can see they're there. Hopefully you'll start to see in a couple of minutes, or maybe 60 seconds or so, you'll start to see. If more than 400 of you tweet at the same time, I'm gonna get throttled. I was kind of taking the chance that you wouldn't all tweet at the same time. But I'd like to see 10, a minimum, please. Here we go, thank you, right? So that's Twitter being picked up by Microsoft Flow, being fed through an on-premises gateway into my SharePoint on-premises farm. How do I get that back up into Office 365? Well, I could cheat. I could have pointed it at Office 365 in the first place. But I want to kind of show that hybrid connectivity, because if I'm on-premises now and I'm collecting that data on-premises, I might have applications on-premises that can now read that data and do things with it, right? If it was all in the cloud, my applications that I can't move to the cloud because we're in a hybrid world and we can't always go there, couldn't see that data. Now they can. But I want to show it in the cloud as well. So I'm going to show it in the cloud, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my search service application, and I'm going to crawl this URL here. I'll just show you the URL, just to prove it's not smoke and mirrors again. I'm going to index that one. Now, it will obviously take a few minutes to kick in. It's going to take a few seconds to index the content. It's going to hit that SCS service. It's going to go through the connector service. But within a few minutes, we should be able to see this. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to go, well, let's just make sure we've still got plenty of information up there. Let's find an example. So I'm going to search for the word. I'm going to search for the word. Someone's put an interesting term in here, I think. Bob. Okay. All right, we'll find a word in a minute. Linda Strong, we'll search for one there, support tonight perhaps. We'll find one anyway. But I'm going to go for a search from now. Let's see if we can find it already. It will start to kick in. It does take, of course, you can imagine you're familiar with search. You know how long it takes. We might see some old ones. I don't think we will. We might see nothing at the moment. So if we don't see anything now, I'll move on and do some more slides, and then we'll come back to this demo. Okay, so we're going to leave it a few seconds. I'm convinced it's going to work. We'll just leave it a few seconds. I'm going to do some more slides. And then we'll come back to that demo. Okay, So that's social data collection. That's one example. If you look at Flow, if any of you are looking at Flow at the moment or using Flow at the moment, there's an enormous range of templates pre-built. And if you have a custom application you want to integrate, you can do that as well. You can add your own API endpoints and bring your own API capability in there so you can actually, you know, integrate with Flow in a different way. But this isn't a Flow session. The final one I'm going to show you is a custom connector. This one's protocol handle-based, and it's a custom connector as opposed to a .NET connector, purely because I want to have a scenario where I can configure the data using the same connector all the time. I don't have to rewrite my connector every time I configure the data. This specific connector is called SIT, Search Indexing Toolkit. It's available as a sample from Microsoft. We won't give it you as a production-ready piece of code, but you can get it as a sample if you want it. It's very, very straightforward. We deploy a core framework onto your SharePoint server, and then you deploy individual connectors to leverage the core framework in order to do the indexing. Very simple, very straightforward. If we look at the one I'm going to show you as an example, and you might have seen some search results on that page previously that said Wikipedia, what I've done is I've pulled down the Wikipedia abstracts from the Wikipedia site, all 50 gig of them, I think, but I haven't indexed all of them. And then I've used a connector file or a configuration file that dictates what to read in those files in order to build my metadata for that search service experience. So I have here a very simple scenario. I'm looking at the root directory. Show me where that data is. I need to go and index it. And it's all XML. It's all pretty standard XML. What am I going to use as the identifier for that item? Every single item in your search service needs to have a unique identifier. Okay, and it has to be different across all the content sources. So I'm specifying the feed, the doc, and the URL. You'll see that in defile in a few minutes. What's the parameter I'm going to use to use that to kind of display that information or recognize that information in the search result set? And then other things like title and whether I want to go and traverse the subdirectories where this information is to literally parse out everything. Very, very straightforward, as I said. So I'll show you this one, and then we'll go back to that other demo. In fact, no, let's try it now. I remembered. My life is in my hands. There we go. Okay. So live search service experience. We're seeing, again, your Twitter feed hitting SharePoint on-premises through the Flow gateway, indexed by the cloud content search service app or the cloud search service application, available in Office 365 for search, should be available in Delve too. We've got one. It will appear eventually. Come on. Come on. I can't spell. No, come on. This might do weird with it. I think it might probably the query text. Okay, we've got tweets. Oh, come on. All right, we'll try that one again at the end. It is there, though. I mean, you can see the first one coming up here. It's probably taken just a few minutes to pop through. But you can see what's happening in here. We're getting all those tweets coming through. And I could skin those. I could query on those looking for that sentiment I was talking about. So looking for things like saying, hey, you're rubbish at doing this. Or, hey, that's really cool. Thank you for doing a great demo. Okay. But you get the idea. So it's kind of, you know, sentiment following, feeding line of business data into Office 365. So the other connector I was going to talk about was this this XML file connector. And what I have here is, it's very, very straightforward. If we look at the configuration script, so XMLCS, it matches the one we saw on the slide deck. Here's my repository. Here's my, do I want to traverse subdirectories? Here's my identifier, URL, and title, etc. Pretty, pretty straightforward. When I look at the data that we're indexing, it matches, the same format. That was a bad idea. Notepad wins every time. Okay, so you can see again, feed, we're using feed, we're using doc, and we're using URL as that kind of uniqueness aspect to that document. And then again, so the indexing here, same kind of idea. We have this Wikipedia repository. Subtly different in this case. in that it has a using a custom connector. So using the sit indexing connector here. So it's basically saying go load the appropriate DLLs to be able to interpret that data. Then we crawl it. I've already crawled it because it's pretty big. And I should, again, in SPO, be able to find Wikipedia data. So it's basically an extract from Wikipedia, but that could be an extract from any business application. Like I said before, the AS400 is a classic one. Reams and reams and reams of electronic information. One quick question?
Yes, one quick. I just saw the XML of your custom connector, and I wonder, I would have expected that a custom connector is a BCS connector with type set to custom and not .NET assembly. What I saw now is a totally different XML. Isn't this BCS?
It's leveraging BCS under the hood.
Okay.
For the connector, we've deployed a custom core component onto the SharePoint farm, which is leveraging BCS as well. So we're basically putting a layer on top of a traditional BCS component. If you want, we can go through the documentation for it at the end, and we can go through the components at the end. But it's not using native it's using native SharePoint with a shim sat over the top, basically. Okay. So roadmap and what's next. It's going to take a few minutes, and I'll go back to that original demo, and we can see if we can find you guys in the search service. From a SharePoint perspective, something that's been asked for a long, 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 long time, as much as the content cloud service applications existed, is the concept of content enrichment and extending the indexing pipeline on premises so that you can then feed Office 365. So the ability to do enhanced metadata, enhanced meta extraction, augmenting properties. We're not sure where this is going to exist yet or when we're going to land with it. We've listened to the feedback from the community. We know you want it. We're actively working on pursuing this capability. That isn't a promise that we will deliver it, but we want to deliver it, okay? Improving relevancy. Inside Microsoft for a long time, we had this scenario where we had a page we could go to, would load different search vendor pages. You can imagine the ones we're talking about. And you could issue a search query and it would send back the set of results from both. And then you choose which one's the right ones, which ones is the thing you want. So we're doing an awful lot of that kind of A-B testing in Office 365 with all these different search scenarios, trying to significantly improve our relevancy models, significantly improve the ranking algorithms that we use, in order to allow you to then think about influencing those things by adding your own custom ranking models, something we very rarely suggested you even did on-premises, but we're giving you that capability, or want to give you that capability in the cloud. Also, enormous improvements in terms of search linguistics. Language detection has been probably at the bane of many search support engineers' life, and people complain that, oh, we don't interpret this word properly, we don't interpret that word properly, we represent numbers differently across different types of languages. Trying to be consistent, trying to be better at detecting the type of language that you're using and detecting the information that's in those documents, or even in terms of your query language as well. And then other things in terms of things like, what can I customize and what can I do with my enterprise search experience to give my end users a much better experience? You've seen the new search experience in the homepage. You know, the homepage in Office 365 now gives you that search-driven experience based on graph and search. Driving more and more contextual intelligence into Delve and into the Office Graph is the key thing that we're looking at here. The ideal scenario for me is that you never have to go to a search center. Right, everything's given to you in those experiences, and then you just search within Delve, which is our interpretation of the Office Graph, of course, or you can use graph-based APIs to access that information yourself. So my last demo is hopefully, it's not gone too bad so far, hopefully find you folks in that search service. So I'm going to go back here. That's our slide. So we're going to search for this. I'll search for the word. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Alex. We're going to search for this word. And if everything goes according to plan, we'll see all of you beautiful people pop up on the screen. And it was a PowerPoint. There we go. and on-prem previews from an Office 365 Search Center as well. Great picture, you guys. Okay, so with that, that's kind of my last demo. It worked super well. I was really pleased. Thank you for that. So please give me an eval. Nice, big numbers are really, really cool. I also appreciate honesty. Don't tell me it was rubbish and then not tell me why, okay? I can't get better unless you help me. So thank you very much for listening. Any more questions?
Two quick questions. Licensing, is the cloud search service application just part out of the box with Office 365, or do you license it, purchase it separately?
Yes, so the cloud search service application is available. You need to be using an enterprise edition of Office 365.
Enterprise edition of Office 365?
Yeah, so any of the eCals or the bigger ones. The reason for that is some of the search features only exist in those cals.
Okay.
The search service application itself you can deploy in any version of SharePoint except Foundation 113. The license to use it as an end user is just to have a license in Office 365. You need an SPO license, basically.
Okay. Second question, when you're getting data from like a database, you know, on the AS400, what do you, I mean, obviously you can't typically, you don't have URLs or web links to data on the 400.
Right.
Are you just displaying some of the data that you pulled from that on the search results page? Yeah. That's basically it, like the customer example?
So depending on what the data is, will depend on, so the type of data will influence how you display it. So in the Wikipedia example, it was easy because we had URLs.
Right.
If it's AS400 or another kind of
on-premise
big
database.
Financial planning application, the data doesn't make sense always to provide links. You might hard code a link to the application and submit an ID on a query string, for example. You might do something different with it. You might not even provide links at all. You might just build a dashboard out of it. You search to consume the data and build something.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay.
Hi.
I go across and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a few questions. So the first one is, like we have on-prem search and hybrid search. So are there any like search features limitation in hybrid search?
Limitations in hybrid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so there's a bunch of unsupported things in hybrid. You can't do custom security trimming, for one. You can only do managed properties and crawl property mappings in Office 365.
Okay.
You can only do them in the tenant search center. They don't apply in the site collections.
Okay.
Those are the more limitations. We're trying to get as many of those knocked down as we can. There is a list in the session I mentioned earlier about Katrina and Manas, Last Ignite.
Okay.
There's a list of those in that deck.
Oh, okay. The other question I have, so in one scenario you mentioned like multiple search service application can connect to one online index space, right?
So yes.
So in the central space, are there going to be multiple index instances, or is it just one index holding all the data from?
It's one unified search index in one location.
So if it's one index, then how the search schema from these different search service applications is going to be there? Like
it doesn't go. So when you're indexing from on-premises into Office 365, the content processing takes place in the Office 365 search farm,
right.
And that's where the schema, the managed properties, the crawl properties are discovered. We are introducing a level of extensibility, but I don't even think we know what that's going to look like. So you will be able to do some additional things, but fundamentally all of that discovery of crawled and managed properties is going to take place in this 365 search farm.
Okay. The other question is, so in terms of like query performance and crawl performance, was there any comparative testing done at Microsoft which says like, okay, it's faster in hybrid scenario, it's faster in on-prem? So, I mean.
That's a really good question. As we've evolved this, the cloud search service application is by far and away outperforms the traditional two result block style hybrid, because that was always a serial experience where you would get one set of results from on-premises and then you would send another query to Office 365. In terms of the baseline performance of the search farm, the Office 365 search farms will outstrip anything you can build on-premises. However, you still need to think about the latency between on-premises and Office 365.
Right.
Don't have a tenant in Europe and you're searching from Australia. It will work, right? But you've got to factor that in. You're still going to a remote location for that search query.
Right.
Okay? Just do this chap if you've got some more.
Sure.
Yeah, so I see that you have some filtering UI components in the the SharePoint homepage. So that appears to be the new refiner UI. So will that be controllable? Will it permeate through team sites? So in other words, refiners, where are they in the new modern UI?
Yeah, that's more of a question for the modern UI people. I'm not sure what they're doing in that space. You might want to find them at the booth to answer that question. I do know that we are looking to drive all of our what would appear to be search-based experiences from graph-type capability. So in terms of the refinement model that you're seeing today in the homepage, I would expect that to be the new model. However, it's likely to, over time, it's likely to change and be tweaked and tuned. But how pervasive it will be across all subsites and things, I'm not sure.
Can we control query rules and schema centrally going forward? I know there's classic now, I get that, but all the controls we have around Search Center, right? So going forward, will we have controls so people in the tenant, we can allow for important things to come up in results for people?
So at the tenant level, you can do the type of query manipulation transforms, configuring different result sources for different experiences. You can do all of that at the tenant level in Office 365 today.
Today, but so in the future?
Oh, in the future, if we're using a different paradigm and going for graph-based scenarios, I don't know. I can't answer that question because I've never looked at it, just being honest there, but I would expect us to give you a level of capability to do that. But I'm not the right person for that question.
Okay, last one. So the SharePoint index online, does it end up getting swallowed up by the graph or just?
Two different things. So we use the search index and the graph as kind of two brothers, if you like, to work together in harmony to give you those based experiences. But we're focusing we're focusing a lot on graph-based experiences. Because with the graph-based experiences, we're picking up behaviors and signals and experiences of your users, whereas in traditional search, you don't really get that kind of relationship between items and people and what they do with objects and things. So if you're going to invest in a search-based experience or a kind of refinement-based experience for your end users, I would look at graph first and foremost before search. But don't discount search because it does have some really powerful capabilities as well.
So you see search continuing?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know we're making a lot of investment on our search farms and our search side in terms of infrastructure and capability and experiences. And if we weren't planning on that as a future state, we wouldn't be making those investments.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.